I will kindly request you to stand up because we prepare to hear the word of God. And as we welcome the servant of God, Dr. Abel, he will be also praying for the word. Welcome.
Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us to gather in your presence. At this moment, we want to hear from you. Lord, we pray that you speak to our heart, mold us and change us, and draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We may be seated. I'd like to greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thank the leadership of the church for the opportunity that is once again given to me to be the one communicating God's word this morning. So if you have your Bible with you, I would like to invite you to open it and turn it with me in John chapter 21. John 21. And we are going to read from verse 1 down to verse 14. John 21, 1 through 14. I read, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana and in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of the disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, 'I'm going fishing.' They said to him, 'We are going with you also.' They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. When the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, 'Children, have you had any food?' They answered him, 'No.' And he said to them, 'Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some.' So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, dragging the net with fish. Then, as soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish you have just caught.' Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, 'Come and eat breakfast.' Yet none of the disciples dare ask him, 'Who are you?' knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead." This is God's word. The accounts, the story we've just read is happening after the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Probably a few days after. Jesus Christ was arrested and put to death in Jerusalem. And he rose again. And after he rose again, he met the three women who went on the tomb And he told them, go and tell my brethren. That is Matthew chapter 28, verse 10. Jesus told them, go and tell my brothers that they should go to Galilee. They should go to Galilee. There they will see me. So this story is happening in Galilee. 3 years after working with Jesus, the disciple had witnessed the power, the might of the Lord Jesus Christ, his glory, for 3 years. But this time they spent with Jesus did not end very well for them. Because the walk with Jesus ended with Jesus being put under arrest, being condemned, and put to death. So the disciples were left alone without their master. I don't know how it felt like for them, but I know it was not a very good feeling. They were used to be with the Lord, and Jesus was a powerful teacher. He was a mighty healer, a great problem solver. Now Jesus is no more. Death had robbed them with the presence of Jesus. So the news of the resurrection for the disciple came out as a very good news. The Lord is risen. The Lord is risen. So that means I could imagine, if I was one of the disciples of Jesus, I could imagine that, oh, thank God Jesus is back to life. So we can enjoy once again his presence. But what we see in John chapter 21 that we've just read, the atmosphere in this story does not really look like a moment of excitement. Jesus is risen, yes, but where is he now? Where is he? Here we are in Galilee, where he started his ministry, where he commanded us to go, but he's nowhere to be found. Jesus is risen, but his presence is no longer tangible the way it used to be. I can imagine, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, thinking about this resurrection. Before the resurrection, Jesus was always there. After the resurrection, we seem to have come into a long-distance relationship with Jesus. He's alive, but he's not here. Meanwhile, we've got some issues among us. There's no food. So Peter decides, let me go fishing. And the other disciples, they hear him. They say, man, I think you're right. Yes, he used to be with us. If he was here, maybe he would have done something. But since he's not around, let's go fishing. I don't know if there's anyone here feeling like in the long distance relationship with Jesus. You know he's present. You just know it from your mind, but you can't feel it. You can't touch him. He's not tangible. And some of us know how difficult it is to keep a loving relationship healthy when you are separated by distance. I spent my time courting my wife before the marriage. We promised marriage together. We promised each other to get married in August 2008. And in September, I had to travel to go for studies. So we had to spend the rest of the time in a long-distance relationship until the wedding day. So I know managing a long-distance relationship, a loving one, is not an easy thing. You love him, you love her, but he's not there. She's not there. You talk, but you can't see her. You talk to him, Jesus, I love you, but you can't see him. Sometimes you just talk by yourself. You don't even hear his voice. You wonder, is he really hearing me? That was the case with Jesus. 3 years with Jesus in a close relationship. Now they say he's risen, but it doesn't really look like a great deal because he's alive, but I can't see him. Jesus is risen. Do you still love him, Peter? Oh, yes, I do. I love him. But you see, Lord, I love you, but I can't see you anymore like before. I love you, Lord, but I can't touch you anymore like I used to do before. I love you, Lord, but this physical distance has just made things complicated. Yes. See, we've traveled back from Jerusalem about 150 kilometers to Galilee, just as you commanded, go and go to Galilee. And you said, you will see me there. We have obeyed. Here we are. But you are nowhere to be found. And moreover, there is no food. I love you, Lord, but I can't see you. Is there anyone thinking the same way or feeling the same way this morning? Lord, I love you, but I can't see you in the midst of the situation I'm facing. So Peter decided, let me just work it out for myself. Let me go fishing. And maybe the temptation that you have this morning is just to go and work it out for yourself. Yes, you still love him, but you need a practical solution. You know he's alive, and I know I love him. In fact, if you read down the verses after, from 15, if you read down, Jesus comes back and asks Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, Master, I do. I do. And I believe he was sincere when he said, I love you. But this time now, Lord, let me just go fishing. What does it mean? What does Peter mean when he say, let me go fishing? What does it mean for you and I, you and me this morning? When he says, let me just go fishing. It means let me go back to the things I master well. You know, Peter was a fisherman, an experienced fisherman. In fact, Jesus, when he called Peter for the first time, he called him out of his business, his fishing business. So Peter knew exactly what it is to fish. He was experienced and he had resigned from fishing, the fishing business, to follow a carpenter and trust a carpenter to survive. And this time, Jesus is not there, and Peter says, let me go back to the things I understand. The things I'm certain of. The things that I know to work well in this type of situations. Let me just go and fish. Yes, I love him. But after all, like someone will think, God helps those who help themselves. As the proverb says, it's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. But Peter feels like, I need to find a solution by myself. Let me go fishing. What does it mean for us, for you and me? Going fishing or fixing things by ourselves mean it's whatever step we take on the basis of natural wisdom after we have received God's word. You've received God's word. You know what God has told you. You know what God has promised you. But when you look at God's word and your experience, there's no matching. So you decide, let me fix things by myself. My question to you this morning, do you still love him? Are you still counting on God's faithfulness to his word? Or have you decided already to work on a practical alternative, a practical one? Just like Peter. But this morning I have a good news for you, my brother, my sister. You see, Peter, when he decides to go fishing, he acts upon his decision. He goes, as he knows things work. He works hard. He works the whole night. He works smart. He works long enough. He even received all the assistance he needed from his connections, the other disciples. Because when he says, let me go fishing, they tell him, oh, we'll go with you. So he received the assistance he needed. But all of those things did not bring him any fish. You see? Sometimes that's what happens when we decide to go and fix things by ourselves without the Lord. The disciples spent the whole night working hard on the sea, thinking that fish is in the middle of the sea, while Jesus had already made fish available, not in the middle of the sea, but on the shore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They went, worked hard in the middle of the sea. They decided to go and fish and fix things for themselves. But meantime, Jesus had more than what they went for. He had it for them available. Not only fish, but cooked fish on the shore. Hallelujah. Your effort, my brother and my sister, whatever effort you make without trusting and obeying God's word, will cost you a lot of energy. It will cost you a lot of money. It will cost you a lot But in the end, it's not going to be fruitful. When Peter decides, let me go work it out for myself, the disciples, they were just, when Peter made that decision, they were just less than a day away from the Lord's provision for them. The provision was just close to them. They were less than a day away from the Lord's solution for them. God had given them his word. Go to Galilee. You will see me. You will see me. It didn't say what day. It didn't say at what time. And that's the problem we sometimes have. We're going to wait for him, but we don't know for how long. When is he going to manifest himself? We don't know. We just know that he said, we'll see him. Here we are, exactly where he asked me, where he asked us to be. But we can't see him yet. My word for you this morning is in Psalm chapter 27, verse 14. This is what the Bible says. Wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Why? Why should I keep waiting? Wait on the Lord. Wait, why? Because human-made formula cannot succeed in a God-given assignment. Wait for him. If God has given you an assignment, don't fall into the temptation of trying to find a human-made solution. If it is God's assignment, it will come to pass God's way. Hallelujah. God is faithful to his word. God is faithful to his word. God is worthy of your trust. God is worthy of your love. And one way you can show him this time that you still love him is by trusting him once again. Do you love me, Peter? And how do you show that you love me? Would you please trust me once again? Hallelujah. Is there anybody who wants to make this prayer this morning and say, God, I can't see you with my eyes, but you still deserve my love and my trust? Is there anyone this morning who wants to say, God, I've not seen your provision yet, but I'll wait on you, no matter how long it takes? Is there anyone this morning who wants to pray and say, Lord, I repent. From all the alternative path that I've taken when it felt like you took distance from me? Can we bow our heads and pray? Can you say something to the Lord? I don't know what the Lord has spoken to you, but one thing I know, this God we are speaking about, we can't see him, but he's alive. I want to reassure you this morning that this God we are talking about, he's just close to you. You can't touch him with your skin, with your hand, but he's more than ever present. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence. You said, see, I will. I am with you. I am with you. Every day, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will always be by your side. We thank you for the resurrection because thanks to the resurrection, now, you are not only among us, but you are within us. We thank you because you are within me. Everything I feel, you feel it. Everything I feel, I know you feel it because you are inside of me. Thank you for being with me. And you promise in your word, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. This morning, I want to put my trust back to you. I want to trust you again. I don't understand you, but I still love you. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for the word of God.